Yo, welcome to Crypto 101. This is Matthew Aaron, and Crypto 101 is taking a week off, and we're really sorry about this. However, we want to re-release one of our old episodes. This episode is Coinbase, the first episode we made, and it might be a little bit dated, but it is one of the most played on the podcast. We're really sorry about this, but we are working on new episodes for next week. We have more interviews and more informational podcasts. We will be right back where we left off, and we'll see you next week. Enjoy. Yo, welcome to Crypto 101, and this is Matthew Aaron, and I am talking about Coinbase today. Remember, these podcasts are just hopefully brief. I want to keep them around 10 to 15 minutes, and just tell you basics about different aspects of cryptocurrency. Like I said in the intro episode, if you listen to it, I'll be talking about exchanges, specific coins, concepts, ideas, technical terms, or what have you, just to give everybody who is getting into crypto a better sense and maybe a better grasp of what they're doing and, you know, what this is all about. Anyway, today we're talking about one of the basics. It's Coinbase. And Coinbase is an online exchange. Honestly, I think that if you're going to get into crypto, this is probably the first exchange you're probably going to hear about, probably first exchange you're going to use, and first exchange you're going to have to come in contact with, just because of the way it's set up. And the way it's set up is that, from an American point of view, I am American, and a lot of people all over the world use this. I think they're in 32 countries right now. You can set your credit card, your bank card, debit card, or bank account to interact with the system. And we'll go into that in a little bit. But first, a little bit about Coinbase. Coinbase was created in 2012, so it's a five-year-old company. It has now about 7.2 million users, and I think they're going for an evaluation of about $1 billion. So according to Wikipedia and their website, they claim that they had about $20 billion in crypto transactions go through their website, which is a lot of money considering the valuation of the market cap of all of crypto right now. I think it's sitting at $66 billion. This is in July of 2017. This episode is being recorded and then released in probably about a week or two, so I don't want to tell you the exact date. however, they're big. They're big, and their products are, you know, they have the online exchange, and they also have a trading platform called GDAX. GDAX stands for Global Digital Asset Exchange. These two exchanges specialize and only exchange or change in Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Litecoin. So if you want to pick up either one of those three, you can go to Coinbase or GDAX and pick those up. But they don't do any other altcoins, so you can't get your Dash or Doge or what have you on there. You have to go to another exchange. But we'll talk more about those later. So how do you set up a Coinbase account? That's the first step. Okay. You, of course, open their website, coinbase.com. We'll talk more about GDAX. GDAX is, again, an exchange that is linked directly to Coinbase. So if you have a Coinbase account, you also have a GDAX account by logging into your Coinbase. You can take your Coinbase money or currency, either at Bitcoin, Ethereum, or your US dollars, and you can transfer them to GDAX to exchange on their platform there. But right now we're just talking about Coinbase. So if you want to sign up for Coinbase, you basically register, you put in your name, an email address, and a password, and then you're in there. I don't think you need your name just to log and create an account at Coinbase. However, if you're going to add a credit card or debit card, you will need to have your name and further information. So setting up an account is very easy. You basically put in your information just as you would if you're buying on, say, Amazon or any online exchange or platform or retail platform, and then you're set up to make purchases. However, if you're a new client and you're using a credit card or a debit card, they usually give you some kind of limits. So, for example, myself, and, to be perfectly honest, I don't know what creates the limits. I had a $500 limit when I set up my credit card. However, my friend, who actually I think has a higher credit card limit than I do, has had a $250 limit. And I don't know why they judged it that way. I didn't really look into it, but you are going to get a little bit of, you're going to get a limit on there. And that limit is a weekly buy. So you can buy up to 500 or 200 or whatever their limit they're going to give you per week. Now that can be raised if you give them more information and make yourself more transparent, or if you just keep having transactions. So basically it's more of like a reward system. So if you buy consistently 250 or 500 and you keep gaining your coins and they say they can see that you're involved in the system, then they'll say, okay, now it's 1,000, now it's 2,000. However, if you want a higher limit off the bat, you can register your bank account. Now, look, I know registering and connecting your bank account to an online platform is sketchy. It makes people just go, no, hell no, hell no, I'm not doing it. But it's safe. To be honest, it's safe. You put in your bank account number, your routing number, and they connect it. Now, this takes about, I'll say a couple of days for them to verify the account. Oh, let me go back and tell you about the verification of the credit card. They will send two amounts to your credit card when they're going to verify your card to be used on their system. And you have to check with your bank or log in online and find those two amounts. For example, they'll charge your card 90 cents and 75 cents. Then you'll have to enter those into their system for them to verify your card. I think the same thing goes with your bank account. They're going to also send you a verification amount. And then, of course, they'll take that off as well. It takes a couple of days, and then you can transfer money straight from your bank account into the Coinbase US dollar wallet. So basically, you're taking your money, say, let's just say it's $1,000 from your X bank, and just transferring and moving that $1,000 to your Coinbase wallet. Now, it is free of charge, which is an amazing thing, and we'll get more into the fees in a little bit, but it's free of charge if your bank is ACH. ACH, that stands for Automated Clearinghouse. Okay, I'm going to have to do some research and we'll get into that a little bit. Actually, we won't get into that a little bit. I don't really care to get into that. But if your bank is ACH, you can send funds to your Coinbase US dollar wallet for free. Okay, so you have set up your credit card, your debit card, or your bank account. You can also wire money from your bank to your US dollar account on Coinbase. That is a charge. Be careful. I would say just connect to your bank because you don't want to pay 10 bucks to move your money to the account to hold in case you want to buy something. And then there's fees on top. Okay, so you're going to buy now. You're looking at, say, I don't know, Bitcoin. And Bitcoin just went down to, say, $2,000. And it's been hovering around $2,200 for the past, you know, a couple weeks. And you're like, okay, this is the time. I'm ready to do it. You're going to go and buy. There are fees. So if you're going to be if you're just going to buy a little bit, so maybe 100 bucks or 120 bucks of Bitcoin, you're going to be looking at about $1.99 just to buy. So, you know, that's about 2%. If it's $2 that's just to buy. That's not including your credit card fee. And we'll get to that in a little bit. If you're going to buy $200 to $300 worth of Xcoin, that's going to be a $2.99 flat fee. And that's not including your card, the percentage that you're going to pay if you're paying for with your debit card or credit card or from your Coinbase wallet. That's why I say, look, if you're going to make a decision and you want to save money, you know, if you're buying 100 bucks and you don't care, you know, $2 just to buy in plus, you know, the credit card fee, you're going to have to make some gains if you're buying just a little bit. All right, so the credit card fee to buy into a crypto on Coinbase is 3.99%. 3.99%. So let's just call it 4%. So if you're buying 100 bucks worth of coin, it's going to cost you $104. If you're going to buy 200, it's going to cost you $8. If you're only buying, plus the fee for buying a small amount. So if it's a 4% plus, say, 100 to 200, what I say, $1.99, that's 6% already. So we're at 6%. So if, say, you know, X coin is at 1,000, let's say, it's at 1,000, it has to go up 6% just to make your break even for buying in. 6%. That's quite a bit. Now, but we're not even talking about getting the money off. If you want to get the money off and turn it into your US wallet, so you want to cash out, it's going to cost you 1.49%. Let's just call it 1.5%. 1.5% to cash out. So now we have your fee of $1.99 plus your credit card fee of 3.99%, let's call it 4%, plus your 1.5%. So we're talking about 7.5% to buy in if you're doing it low and to cash out. So it means your coin has to go up 7.5% before you even start making money. So that's something to keep in mind when using Coinbase, is their fees. However, you can do it a lot cheaper if you just have your US dollars in the account and you pay for your US dollars, which is, like I said, 1.5% to buy in and 1.5% to cash out. So that is 3%. You have around 3% and you're in and you're out. That's more reasonable. Now, since they're linked with GDAX, and you can sign up, by signing up to Coinbase, you are automatically signed up to GDAX, you can exchange your US dollars to the GDAX account and you can purchase on their exchange. And then there you only have to pay for the maker and taker fees. And we'll go into what maker and taker fees are in the next podcast. And just look at for the GDAX podcast. You'll learn about the maker and taker fees, what they are, how they're determined, and about using GDAX. All right, so we've bought in. We know the fees. We know how to do all this stuff. Once you purchase your coins, your coins automatically show up in your Bitcoin or Ethereum or Litecoin wallet, and your dollars are spent, and we hope that everything goes up and you hold. Look, the fees aren't a big deal if you plan on holding. If you believe in the currency, if you believe in crypto technology, if you believe that this is going to be $1 trillion market cap in 5 years, then look, the fee's nothing. However, if you're thinking that you're just going to make a quick buck, then you really want to think about these fees, because, you know, 6%, people are trading on exchanges and getting 3% and cashing out 3% here and there, 5%, couple percentage. And if you're trying to do that with Coinbase, this is not the platform to do it. So don't. So there's some pros and cons about Coinbase. In my opinion, it's easy to use. It's safe. They have two-factor authentication. We will go into that again on another podcast, but basically it is setting up either a text message to your phone. So say if you put in a email address or user name or whatever, and then your password, that won't log you in. After that, you need to get a text message to your phone, or you need to use Google Authenticator to get a special code to log in. And we're going to go into that a little bit in another podcast, but I feel it's safe. Another thing about their safety is that they're insured. Now, I don't know any other exchanges that are insured right now. I'm going to do some research to figure that out. But they're insured. They're insured for their coins and their cash. And that's huge for me. So I was actually thinking, you know, Coinbase is not a bad place to store your coin. Because, look, if you move it, your coins out of Coinbase and you put them, say, on one of these cloud server wallets or vaults, they're not insured. If they get hacked, you're done. However, Coinbase, if you have a Bitcoin on there and they get hacked, if somebody breaks into Coinbase and steals your Bitcoin, you're getting that Bitcoin or money back. If somebody hacks into Coinbase and steals your cash that's sitting in that US dollar USD wallet that Coinbase has set up, you're getting that cash back. If it's their fault, because they're security, if it's your fault, you are not getting that money back. And how could it be your fault? just like a phishing scam. Say if somebody Coinbase instead of with BASE, they have BASS.com, and they send you an email and they say click here to change your password, and you click there and change your password, and they have your password and information, and they go in there and take your money. That is a phishing scam, and you do not get your money back from that. You do not. So it's safe if you keep your wits about you. Transferring funds to GDAX is instant. That's a big pro. Linking to your bank account and getting that money in there and then getting it out for free is a big plus, in my opinion, and that's a huge pro. So, I mean, I think that's why you could also link your GDAX to it as well, but I like it. It's a big pro for me. Get that money in, get that money out. Free, cash out. Cons. Now, the cons are big. The website has been known to crash during huge dips or gains. I remember that, and you know what? And honestly, it's almost clockwork. ETH went up to 4, I think it was 415 or 420 back a couple weeks ago. Maybe a month ago already. And then all of a sudden, boom, it started to dip. Crazy, crazy dips. It started fucking falling out of the sky. So I text my friend. I was like, watch this. Coinbase is gonna crash. It's gonna lock it up. And what happened? It locked it up. Now, I don't know if this is on purpose or a lot of people started logging in to try to sell really quick before they lost their profits and it didn't crash their servers, but I smell sketch. Every time it goes down and some currency starts plummeting crazy fast, Coinbase just locks up and freezes up. When something goes up crazy fast, Coinbase locks up and freezes up. And it's just like, why am I on this exchange if I can't buy in the dip and sell when it's high? Especially if it's, you know, going crazy for some who knows random reason. This is kind of why I'm here, is to make a little money. I do believe in the currency. But yeah, we all have the investment in here to make some money. And if it's gonna if my profits are just falling out of the sky, I want to sell. And you know what? It's been having problems with that. The other con that I think is it's pricey in comparison. It's a pricey service. It's a very simple, very clean, very safe service. And you're gonna pay for that. If you want a little more risk, you can do it a lot cheaper somewhere else. Their support sucks. I have never had to deal with it. I'm lucky, but I have never heard a good thing about their support. Not one person you're going to find on Reddit is going to go up and say, man, Coinbase, they got their shit together. You log on, you ask them a question, and they have this live person that comes up and deals with all your shit for you. No, they are horrible, according to everybody. But, you know, in my experience, all exchanges suck. All of them do. I have one that I'll tell you about later that I think is really good with support and their services. Okay, in comparison, they're good with their support and their services, but they all suck. Just ask people about Poloniex in May and June. Horrible, horrible. I think that's half the reason why they deactivated their troll box, because they didn't want everybody bitching about their support the whole time. And the last con that I have on my list is I know a lot of people from Europe, and a lot of people that have signed up and started using their credit cards to make purchases on Coinbase. So they make these purchases and it's all good until they want to cash out. And in Europe, they use this SEPA, single euro payment area. And I think it's just kind of like some kind of network that all the banks have together that they can just transfer money and you can log in, use the SEPA, I'm sorry, I don't know how to pronounce it, and you can just go back and forth and transfer money from bank to bank within the EU. Coinbase says they support it. Coinbase also has a fee system that's created for the euro payment system. However, everybody I know that has tried to set it up had a problem setting it up. Or had a problem withdrawing. So if I was someone from Europe or the UK, I would say, nah. It's in a very American system. I have no problems with my account. Everybody else I had got stuck in verification, got lags, just did not were not able to withdraw. If you are somebody from Europe that has no problems with it, please let us know. That's amazing. However, you can just look at Reddit. There's comments and questions all over the place. My friends try to do it. They have problems. The best one for Europeans, for people from the UK, Kraken, hands down. It's made specifically for that. However, Coinbase, if you're American, boom, done. All right, so that's this podcast about Coinbase. I think I covered about all the basics of Coinbase. If there's anything that I missed, please, you know, questions, comments, criticisms, thumbs up, all that's all good. I'm not going to get offended. If you say I'm a dickhead and you don't want to hear me anymore, I won't care. But that's about it for Coinbase. Thanks, everyone, for listening. This is Matthew Aaron, and we'll see you next time. Last but not least, the song today was by Ariane Cook. Song's called Having Fun, and I found it on one of my favorite YouTube channels, Cloud Kid. Check it out. We'll be right back.